My name is Nubar Ghazarian. I'm the director for this project, which is called the Lighthouse Project. And it's a community documentary that's being produced as part of the Australian Heritage Program. So it was a certain amount of funding that was given by the Australian Heritage Program, which was a federal funding to the community of King Island through the council. And I put a proposal up for some of that money to be used towards making this documentary.
We're talking this morning, though, in Port Ferry, which is, I guess, not too far away from King Island, but it's still some distance. Just explain for us what you're actually doing in Port Ferry and how this fits into the wider project.
Yeah, well, the whole idea of the Port Ferry thing came up because we were desperately looking for boats, wooden boats of that period, which we're talking about 1860, 1861. And the boat that's been built here by Gary Stewart, who's a local boat builder, he built three boats, whale boats, two of which are over at, I think there might be more than two actually, at the Warrnambool Museum. And this one here in Port Ferry has got a crew that are really keen, and they're sort of here all year round, and they're locals, and they go out and row and everything else. So it's just perfect that, you know, I just happened to be able to get onto it. It meant that we were able to actually recreate a proper sequence that was going to be historically correct. And because the whole idea is it's a dramatized documentary recreating that period and what was happening. And so they were bringing supplies over to King Island to build this lighthouse back in 1860, and they had to bring in everything by boat, row it on to the north end of the island, which is Cape Wickham. And there were two places they could do that, and that was at Victoria Cove and at Disappointment Bay. And the ships would anchor offshore, and then it would bring the boat, the supplies in.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
From where? From Tasmania or from Victoria?
Well, the supplies came from both Tasmania and Victoria because it was the first time ever that they had realised that they needed to combine the colonies, Van Diemen's Land it was called then, and Victoria especially, and New South Wales, were all involved. So it was like a federal project without federation, because this is before federation. And it was part of the reason behind it was that the British Admiralty were getting worried about the fact that there were too many shipwrecks going on, because what they had to do was actually bring the ships in through Bass Strait. And that was called, they had a term for it, threading the needle, because suddenly they're coming down the Southern Ocean, open territory, and then suddenly have to go thread through a narrow passage between Cape Otway and Cape Wickham. It's about 90 miles, and in those days, of course, they didn't have GPSs, they didn't have anything like that, so they had sextants in order to work out what their latitude was and chronometers, and depending on the weather, they often couldn't use that, so they were guessing a lot of the time. And by that stage, Cape Otway had been built in 1848, but the Cape Wickham was still in process, right? And so when that was built, it meant that there were two lights and they could sort of thread the needle a little bit better.
Apart from the importance of building this light at the time, is the story itself a very dramatic story of the building of the light?
Yes, I think it's a very pioneering story. It's a story about people who just took the bull by the horns, basically, were amazing craftsmen. And it's a story about the workers who built this lighthouse. It's not about famous people necessarily. It's a little bit about just how, just by sheer determination and skill, they were able to build the tallest lighthouse in the Southern Hemisphere out of pure granite, all quarried on the island. And a lot of the other stuff was also done on the island. For example, the lime and the mortar they made on the island. And they also, so they had a lime kiln, and they also had a blacksmith's what they call the iron store. So they brought the pig iron over and then actually made the metal bits for the lighthouse on the island. So it was like a creating a sort of little factory on the island. They had as many as 80 people at one stage working there, and they had draft horses, pulleys. You can imagine the big granite stones that were, you know, over 2 meters long and sometimes a meter wide, big stones that were quarried. They'd bring it down from the quarry via a rail system that they'd devised, and all pulled with draft horses, etc., and then lift the stone up as the lighthouse was being built, right up to the top with block and tackle.
As for what you're filming here in Port Ferry today and over the next couple of days then, how's this going to fit into the finished product?
Well, very important, because we need to show that the stores that they were bringing over was done, how it was done. And the old sea dogs, that's what I call them, in Port Ferry, are amazing. And the boat, the whale boat, built by Gary Stewart, again, an amazing thing, because there aren't too many of these beautiful things left, these beautiful wooden boats. Mm. And it's a celebration, really, of that period and what was achieved, you know, pioneering spirit. And it's part of our maritime history, and an important part of our maritime history. And very little of that is being documented, I think. And so it's important. So the end result will be a half-hour dramatised documentary.
You're filming on Griffiths Island, I think, though, here today. So presumably this will be recreating the landing on King Island, yeah?
That's right, yeah. So we're using this coast. This coast is quite similar to King Island coast, you know, or all around this sort of shoreline. Victoria is very similar to the sort of King Island coast. Probably not quite as similar as Disappointment Bay, because that's a very unusual beach, you know, but it's very similar to like the Victoria Cove side of things. So yes, there are very close similarities between it. So
just before you go, because I know you're busy with actors waiting for you to tell them what to do. You mentioned you've just recently moved to King Island. What prompted that, and what sort of a place is it to live these days?
Yeah, it's a beautiful place to live. And the people are wonderful, and it's a very relaxed atmosphere. There's problems because of being isolation, I suppose, and transport is a problem, and getting there and out of the island is more expensive and all that. But I've always been connected with King Island because I married a King Islander, and Graham, you know, Graham family have been there for a number of years, in the generations. And yeah, so we've always come to the island over the years, and eventually Anne convinced me, yeah, it's time to go now. come over. So yeah, I've really enjoyed it, and we've bought a little just a sort of like a, it's almost a hobby farm really, but it's a little orchard, and looking forward to growing the blueberries. Yeah, so yeah, it's cool.